First, a couple of quick announcements. Our parish is also celebrating today a feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and there's a fiesta a little after 2 o'clock, and you're certainly welcome to join us for that. I realize there's also a parade at the same time, but you'll have better food at the fiesta if you come to that. Also, I need to announce that on Tuesday, we are hosting the Messiah, the Aiken Symphony Orchestra, and because of that, we will not have the 5:30 daily mass or the confessions before that. We will still have the 6:30 mass in the morning, so you're welcome to join us for that, but we will not have the 5:30 mass. And the concert, by the way, is at 7 o'clock. I hope you might be able to come to that. And finally, you will see the Christmas schedule. We've been trying to get it out so everybody can see it. And because Christmas falls on Saturday, please note that day especially. We do have the Christmas Day, 10 o'clock, but there will not be a Saturday night mass. There's no vigil mass for the next day. We'll be home. We will have a normal Sunday on the 26th. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oftentimes in movies and paintings, St. John the Baptist is portrayed as somewhat cantankerous, moody, fire and brimstone kind of preacher screaming at people to repent. Even in the best of films and series that I like, he's mostly depicted as a bit crazy, right? And frizzy hair, bellowing at the top of his lungs, all about politics and religion. He's the type of person we are told you should definitely not invite over for a Christmas party, right? But this is not actually true. This is not true about John the Baptist. St. John attracted huge crowds. He won over so many hearts, people from every walk of life. We even see that he was attracting tax collectors and soldiers, a very diverse group of people. If he were at your Christmas party, if he was at your Christmas party, he'd be the guy in the corner telling all of these stories, and everyone would be huddled around just to hear it. An awful lot of people thought that he was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was, in a word, captivating. It even said that he was there proclaiming the good news. So take again a look again at the main point of his message. He is speaking to us that our salvation is at hand. He's talking about deliverance. He's talking about God's love. God is coming to save us. And that is just the opposite of some gloomy fire and brimstone kind of foreboding message. Instead, he is giving to us a message of pure joy. Joy is the surest sign of the presence of God. If you have joy in your soul, real joy, God is there. On this Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of joy, our readings mention the word joy no less than 12 times. Jesus comes to save us. He comes to bring us salvation and friendship with God, true and living communion with God, with the creator of existence itself. And because of Jesus, we can know the God who made us and be with him forever. And that, my friends, is a reason for joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, St. Paul exhorts us. And just in case we miss it, in the very next sentence, he says, I say it again. Rejoice. He's writing to the Philippians. Do you remember what I mentioned last week, where he was when he's writing this letter? He's in prison. He's writing these words, rejoice, from prison. As I mentioned as well last week, if I was asking, writing to you, people of St. Mary's, I know myself, be saying, send somebody to break me out of here, right? But he's not. He knows. He absolutely knows he's in God's hands and that this world is not the end. The whole point. But, Father Wilson, you might object, that sounds nice and all. It's very Bible-y, right? But have you ever even seen the news lately? There seems to be very little reason to rejoice in this world. Well, friends, don't give up just yet. It is true. Even in this church this morning, there are people who are facing serious challenges, financial stresses, health problems, deadlines at work, dysfunctional relationships, perhaps with some family members. There are terrorist attacks, both domestic and foreign, racial tensions, and if you haven't noticed, there's a pandemic going on outside that's making everybody crazy. There's more, but since the sun has come out this week, we're going to stop. In the words of one commentator on this particular scripture passage, it is healthy, spiritually healthy, to remind ourselves that Jesus did not come to give us a comfortable upper or upper middle class lifestyle. He did not come to give us a two-car garage, gobs of bandwidth for high-speed internet, a spouse who never forgets anything special about you, and three absolutely perfect kids who do all their chores without complaint, adore their parents, and never talk back. He did not come to bring us that. Indeed, the Gospels remind us of things like, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That path leads to the cross, I should say through the cross. He said also, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Yes, remember, he's overcome it. He died, now he's alive. And not only that, he is our food. He feeds us so that we can live in this world and not be of the world, but get through it and still have peace and joy. And you and I can be alive in him. We have to keep reminding ourselves of this good news, that it is not a plan for comfort in the world, because our tendency is to revert to thinking that it is. Then when we look around and we see that things are not comfortable, even 2,000 years later, we mistakenly think the good news is not worth it, has not worked. But that's not the good news, to just make a comfortable world. The good news is about eternal life with God through Jesus Christ, which starts now, but won't directly be seen until the life and the world to come. Jesus Christ has come and taken up residence in our hearts, giving us communion, union with the living God, even now and in the life to come. And that is a reason to rejoice. We are people of joy because we are not living for the here and now alone. St. Paul once said that if for this life we are living, then we are the most pitiable people of all. We are not living so that this world can go on forever. All our eggs are not in the basket of this world. This world is not heaven. We are pilgrims. We are merely passing through and called to make the world a better place as we go, and to help other people see that light. If we as disciples do not live this, if we as disciples do not know Jesus deeply and personally, how will we be able to love him or imitate him? How will we be able to rejoice now? How can we spread the word? Advent has still 2 weeks left. We're here at the midpoint. So here is your goal: to strive to know Jesus better at the end of these 2 weeks than you do today. You already know how to make it happen. We all know. Making time for personal prayer every day, no excuses. Reading and reflecting on Jesus's words and examples we find especially in the gospel. Studying the teachings of his church, which reveal his mind and heart, how to live the faith, and of course, Holy Mass and confession, those personal encounters with Jesus himself that we call sacraments. And do not start tomorrow. Start today, right now, before the end of this Mass. Why wait? Real joy and peace are within your grasp. Even in the midst of the woe around us, we rejoice because we are disciples of the living God who has come to earth to save us. Emmanuel, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, have courage, Jesus says. I have overcome the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.